This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're going up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, past waves and waves of robotic enemies with our spread gun. That's right, we're playing the NES classic Contra from 1988. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Huell Hauser.
To podcast about video games, you need the cunning of a lion, the spirit of a Viking warrior, and the intelligence of a modern-day field general.
And one of the deadliest enemies of the evil Red Falcon organization, it's my other co-host, Todd Briskin.
Hey Lance, it's time for revenge.
Okay, Bill, let's attack aggressively.
Joining us today is a special guest who loves shooting aliens and robotic soldiers as much as anyone. It's our good pal and listener, Backsack.
What's up, guys? I didn't come up with a clever comment.
Aw.
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Write in or comment and get a plug on the show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend, and now you can support us by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Contra from 1988. Although this running gun action game originally came out in the arcades in February of 1987, the version of Contra that pretty much everyone knows and loves is the Nintendo one from February of 1988. It featured large, ugly alien boss characters that you had to shoot many times in order to blow up real, real good, normally in the face. Like many games we play, this one is tough since you only have three lives and the three continues that you can use. They force you to replay stages from the beginning. The Konami code is practically required since it gives you 30 lives, plus the extra lives you can earn from racking up points. Contra was the pick of today's special guest, Backsack. So, Sack, why'd you pick this game?
Well, 9-year-old Backsack loved two things in life. Commando and Contra. And I guess to a lesser extent, two dudes running around shirtless shooting things. Now that I think about it, that's the connection between Contra and Commando, so maybe there's an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know.
I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
Well, I know that if you look at the cover of Contra, Bimmy and Jimmy are direct ripoffs of Schwarzenegger from Contra, or not Contra, from Commando and Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Rambo, for sure.
Rambo.
For sure.
I mean, that's got to be just for the North American audience, right? Like when it got ported over, they probably just like put that on all the instruction manuals and the posters.
Good question. I didn't look up the covers.
This was one of the first games I got for the NES, which I had probably had for a year before that. And I think, what did I have? I had like a Clue Land. Do you remember that? That was a Nintendo game.
Clue Land.
You never played that?
No.
No.
It was this one with
it looked like
a little gumball that went around a maze, almost like Pac-Man, and it had little bars that kind of stuck up. I don't know how to describe it. Like you know, on a pinball machine, if you're looking down on it, and there's pegs, and these pegs were whenever the gumball went by it, it would stick out a little arm and grab onto the peg, and it would turn to the left or right depending on which arm it used. And you had to turn it around and get coins and stuff. And it was probably one of the worst games ever, which is why.
Yeah, this sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, it was that, and also whatever the game was that used the robot, you know, the robot that had the
Gyromite.
Gyromite.
Oh yeah, Rob.
Yeah, Robbie the robot had that, and loved that game. But you know, that and Duck Hunt were pretty much all I played.
Of course. Of course.
Duck Hunt.
But then when this came out, it was a revelation. I mean, for me, who used to dream about my elementary school getting taken over by terrorists so that I could become Rambo.
Were you also a Red Dawn fan?
You know what? I never liked Red Dawn.
Oh, it sounds more like Red Dawn, though.
I know. I should have, but I didn't. But okay. I distinctly remember dreaming about that and destroying all the terrorists. I'm pretty sure
Contra is when you knew that you actually loved big, strapping, shirtless men.
Yeah, that was the true discovery.
That was, yes, it awakened the feelings that have been there ever since. That's true. But yeah, I love this game.
Well, it's definitely the vibe for sure of the game. It's just a, it's a playable 80s action movie.
Oh yeah.
Definitely, that's the vibe they're going for too. Between we just shared in the chat for the Skype for this call the arcade promo poster, which features a a hot babe in camo.
Boom, yeah,
a ridiculously 80s chick.
The hair anyway. Yeah, which by the way, there,
her
there
hair
are...
looks like somebody we know.
Oh, does it now?
Does it? Who would that be?
Can't see it.
Are you referring to friend of the show Beanie?
Yes. Yeah. Friend of the show Beanie.
Friend of the show.
Yes, of course. All of her appearances.
Yeah, it is quite a bit of hair. This is way more 1980s blowout than anything else.
Why does she have a knife? Is she gonna start knifing the machine? Trying to cheat the coin slot?
Well, there something might pop out of those bushes there. She's not sure.
Oh, that chick. Oh, I totally remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
she's
God.
She's playing an arcade game in the jungle, apparently, so you don't know what dangers are lurking.
Yeah,
she's got a sweet buck knife there, too.
Yeah.
Irresistible force.
The cabinet is camouflaged. So you can barely see.
I like the features that this game has. It has two-person interactive play.
Yes.
A continuation feature.
Oh, man.
I guess you can put coins in and continue. And a buy-in feature where I guess you can put coins in and play.
Play period, uh-huh. Yeah.
Groundbreaking at the time.
I know.
Give me your coins.
Oddly enough, according to Wikipedia, even the arcade version of this game only gives you three continues, which to me, I don't know of another arcade game that does that. Like, most of them just let you continue wherever you die because they want you to keep pumping quarters in to beat it.
Right. That is strange for an arcade game, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Contra's for men, not boys.
I like the alternate name here in different regions of Probotector.
Yes. Probotector is one of the Probotector is one of the all-time classic censorship changes.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's Contra in America and Japan, you're your two buff dudes blowing away all these commie robots. But in Europe, where they have a little something called Nazi Germany World War II, they kind of felt ashamed on their culture and exposing children to such violence. So they have extreme censorship laws in Germany. So to get around the censorship laws, they changed Bimmy and Jimmy into robots, and they turned every bad guy into a robot, and now you are a Probotector.
Mm-hmm.
Proboing
robots.
Wouldn't it be
robot on robot violence.
Why would it be probo? Wouldn't it be Robotector if you're a robot protector?
Well, in German, the word probot
is
the actual word. I don't know.
Yeah, they're kind of strange.
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too, Brisket. Like, I guess even in the American version, you are technically shooting robots, which is why they all every enemy in this game explodes when you kill them.
They're robots except for the bosses, which are huge aliens, and you shoot these huge pulsating alien. They look like orifices, you know.
There's a lot of orifices.
There's a lot of orifice shooting of alien bodies.
Definitely, like we mentioned. Rambo and like Commando being influences for this game, but there's also probably a bit of Alien going on too. Where,
oh, for sure, yeah.
Looks just like the Xenomorphs. Xenomorph.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially early Nintendo games had no problem stealing like pretty much everything from pop culture, like in terms of enemies and your heroes and whatnot.
Right.
I definitely. Like, the bosses were still kind of cool for this game, though. I kind of loved how, like, all of them were huge battleships, or the end boss for this game is, like, a giant pulsating heart, and there are also spiders that it sends after you.
And also spiders.
Yeah.
You know, and also
why
floating
shrimps, think about
too.
It from the alien's perspective. He's just hanging out in his new – just moved in. He's trying to meet the new neighbors, but then – All these parasites come in and start shooting lasers at his heart. and his pulsating orifices.
The storyline was Red Falcon was taking over some island in Madagascar or something.
Yeah, who cares about that island? Why do the Contras care about that island?
Beachfront property, man. They're not making more of it.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Why do like,
limited supply? Yeah,
where does the
gotta open that condo?
Timeshares.
Yeah. We can't just let them take over the Galuga Archipelago.
The what?
This game
the
is set.
Galuga?
This Galuga. Game is set in Galuga, which is near New Zealand. Oh, we could have had Spatchcock on. He would have known everything about this game.
He's an expert.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a summer home on Galuga.
Friend of the show, Spatchcock?
Friend of the show.
So is the Red Falcon organization like in cohorts with aliens? Is that how this works?
Yes.
Like, how do the aliens even fit in?
I don't know.
Red Falcon has made some deal with the aliens. That's what I remember.
Okay.
To help them take over.
I mean, when it comes to the NES version, I don't know if there is a single story kind of screen in this entire game.
No.
I don't remember seeing one, but then again, I was too busy just getting straight into the shooting. So
I'd just like to know where Ollie North and Fawn Hall fit in. No explanation.
No.
Hey, listen, man, this is like many games, this one is obviously an allegory for the Iran-Contra.
That's what I thought.
There's a lot of deep symbolism that you know, I don't have a poli-sci doctorate. I can't really explain it.
Britain. I connected it more to the more directly to the Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
Is that so?
Do you think this was propaganda by the first Bush administration to apologize for Ollie North?
Not got that.
I was trying to look real quick to see if they did explain whether these are aliens or if they're biological kind of things, and no, it doesn't really clarify.
Well, every story I've read, and it's probably different system to system and game to game, is that there's some meteor that struck the baby Beluga archipelago 30 years ago, and that is where the xenomorphs were hibernating. The Red Falcons came over and said, "Hey, man, I'll help these baby aliens out." And they helped them hibernate, and then the Contras came and blew them away.
Oh,
so
it's a good thing.
So those guys are the Contras.
Yes. Contra.
Okay. Jippy and Bippy.
Jippy.
They do kind of switch around the time frame. The arcade games are set in the 27th century, whereas the NES game, I guess, for some reason, they say it happens in 1989.
Yeah, and did you know in like Contra 3, when you're playing as Jammy and Bammy, they are the great grandsons of Lance and Bill.
Oh.
Oh.
How did they make a baby together?
Yeah. Well, they used some of that alien technology.
They must have.
They used an alien to birth it, like in that one movie that sucked.
With the Lonely Island song?
What's the last alien movie? Prometheus.
Resurrect. Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
Don't get me
we
started
don't, We
on
don't
that.
Talk of that.
Okay. That didn't happen?
Mm-mm.
Erased from memory like Indiana Jones 4?
Oof. What are you talking about?
guys are tough. I thought that movie was.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was okay.
Prometheus?
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
So you gonna catch Prometheus 2 when it comes out?
Oh, yeah. Prometheus more. Ernest goes to space.
Oh, man, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm right. Sorry.
I definitely would too. Ernest has been dead for like a decade now. How are they going to. How are they going to do that?
CGI? It's like how they made Michael Douglas, like how they made Michael Douglas look young in Ant-Man.
Oh, did they
same
do
technology?
That?
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were going to do it like Tupac and Either hologram or unearth test screens from Ernest Goes to Space.
Well, he only has like three quotes, and he said them 100 times, so they can come like, kind of cool.
I know what I mean.
I think he's going to be played by Paul Walker's brother. So that's how they'll work that out.
Paul Walker's brother? Too soon.
There has to be a Jim Varney Jr. out there somewhere.
Exactly. Oh,
there's tons of bastards out there, Jim Varney bastards. That guy was a player.
Yeah.
Man. All over.
That droopy mouth.
All over the countryside. They're just screwing about.
Droopy mouth bastards all over the land.
All over the hills.
Hey, Vern, I was on The Simpsons.
Hey, look, I'm a dog. It's got a spring in its middle.
Look, I'm a lady in drag.
Oh, man. This is going downhill.
We did find the Japanese cover, as we did last week also.
Yes.
And in keeping with the 80s theme, the guy in the back does look a bit like Arnold, but the guy in the front looks more like Johnny from Karate Kid.
But to be clear, they both look like vaguely Asian versions of them.
Not quite the blonde one, but the guy in the back does a bit. He's like
that's totally Arnold.
Yeah, it's like Arnold if he was Asian.
In front looks like Corey Haim, actually.
Oh.
A little bit.
Tiny bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's super. Wait a minute. That is Arnold from the poster for Raw Deal. That's the same thing. Go look up Raw Deal. That's exactly what that is. Hold on.
What is Raw Deal?
You don't know Raw Deal?
Oh, it totally is. That's definitely the same one.
That's exactly it.
Yes, it is.
Look at that.
How do you remember this movie?
Because I like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How do you remember the poster?
Yeah, the poster. Where do you,
I guess it was
in that
the VHS cover, right?
Yeah. I loved Raw Deal. That was one of my favorites.
Wow, that is uncanny. Straight to the slick back hair.
Exactly. Oh, they weren't even trying.
You can't mess with me on Schwarzenegger now.
I will never question it again.
Please don't. Oh, there it is.
I hope his attorney is looking into this. This could help pay off some of that some of his bastard baby money or some of his Maria Shriver money.
You know, if we hadn't dropped two atomic bombs on them, I'd be pissed. Huh.
They're getting a lot of slack here.
They get a little slack.
A lot of leash room.
I irradiated generations of your people, so I guess you can rip off Arnold.
They can co-opt our American culture, our Austrian American.
He's not even American.
But he's our Austrian.
I feel like Arnold is distinctively American at this point.
Arnold belongs to the world.
So the series of this game is followed up by two good sequels, Super Contra, which is called Super C in America for the NES. That came out in April of 1990. It was pretty much the same gameplay as Contra. It kind of switches out the weird middle stages where you're shooting at doors. It changes that to kind of a top-down side-scrolling stage.
So the base?
Yeah. It's kind of the same different sort of gameplay that plays similar enough that it's not too bad. There's also Operation C for the Game Boy, which came out in 1991. It basically reuses stages from Contra and Super C and makes a little Game Boy version. I had it. It was pretty solid game. From there, the series kind of falls into an abyss. There's Contra 3, The Alien Wars for Super Nintendo. It was really well reviewed when I checked it out today, but Brisket and I played it the other day, and we did not have a fun time. Brisket, can you talk a little bit about Contra 3 there?
Yeah. Seems like it's a lot more difficult than the first Contra game. It has a instead of running through a hallway shooting walls, it's like a top down view using mode 7 graphics, you know, like in F-Zero. Mm-hmm. And it's very awkward to control that.
Yeah, especially you're talking about like stages 2, 4, 6, etc. Like it switches to that top down view, and you can, you know, you move around weird. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, it's top down, and your gun is aiming to the right. So yes. Imagine you're top down, your gun's aiming to the right. So you're wondering, and you move around, your gun is still aiming to the right. So you're wondering, how do you shoot guys that are behind you and, you know, not directly to the right of you? You have to use the L and R trigger buttons to rotate your body.
Yes. Oh. And you slowly spin around when you do this.
And you're top down?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Top down, like Jenny McCarthy.
Oh boy, huge slam, you know, on
speaking
McCarthy,
speaking of Jenny McCarthy,
blow the dust off that reference.
Speaking of Jenny McCarthy and the names of these games, it seems like they've all, anytime somebody says like Super C or Operation C, it sounds like they're censoring themselves instead of saying, you know, the C word.
Yeah, not bad.
Like she's a Super C, man.
A real Operation C last night.
Yeah.
Well, they were, you know, Nintendo was notorious for censorship, so Super probably wouldn't have went over well.
Oh, boy.
1991.
Oh, he went there. Oh, man. Oh, boy.
You know, they should have just kept, like, Super, they should have just called it Super Contra and not Super. That way they wouldn't have to censor themselves.
Super Contra. That would have flowed.
All right, Steve, you logged this in the censorship. Yeah. Bleeping log.
Brisket, they're artists. They're not going to be, you know, had their arm twisted to change the name, except that they were.
It's a pretty groundbreaking game, though, I remember at the time, being able to shoot back, down, left, right, anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, diagonally.
And also that view from behind, going through the base, there's nothing like that.
Oh, I agree. Like those stages are kind of random, but they're still kind of fun to play. I think there's two of them in the original NES version.
Yeah, mm-hmm. as a little mix-up, a little different.
Mm-hmm. I consider those bonus stages. Just a little treat.
Just a little snifferoo.
Yep.
Little after-dinner mint. Wafer thin.
A palate cleanser.
Cleansing the palate.
So after, at the same time as the Super NES game, there was another NES Contra Force, which it got middling reviews, and from there it kind of went into a lull. There was releases for the Saturn, PlayStation, PlayStation 2. Pretty much all of them were not especially well received, and they were kind of weird 3D versions. Castlevania had the same problem where it went through a dark period. Konami in the early 2000s was kind of not so great. They returned to the traditional gameplay though for Contra 4, which came out for the DS in 2007, and Contra Rebirth, which is on the Wii in 2009. Those are both pretty well reviewed. Those versions, along with NES version and I think Super C, you can find all.
Whole different meaning now.
No, I'm just kidding.
You can find all of them in classic game bundles, and they're downloadable on Steam, on cell phones, that kind of thing. So,
did you say classic game muggles?
No, classic game bundles.
Oh, what I just heard Jackie got excited just there. By the way, how far did everyone get without dying?
Oh, man. Without dying or
without dying?
Oh, yeah. I can't
or using the three lives.
Without dying.
I got all the way to the snow field.
What?
Yeah.
Muscle memory kicking.
Well,
playing legit, I can get as far as that one stage that you start going up vertically. And then I just die on that one.
That's the jungle. That's like two. No, that's three.
Stage three.
Yeah, that's three.
The waterfall.
Yes. I got to the middle of the base before I completely got destroyed.
Seriously?
There's too many bullets.
Jesus, man.
They're everywhere.
Do you mean stage two, Huel, or stage one?
I meant stage two.
Okay.
The middle of the base, you know, when you're walking through.
Yeah, I got all the way to the snowfield.
You mean without completely dying?
Without dying once.
Oh, wow.
What?
Like getting hit?
without getting hit, without dying once. I just did it before we got on the call.
All right.
Not no, like I could. Definitely... You think I'm going to brag about Contra?
No, I just didn't know if you meant like dying at all or like
no, not dying up once, not, not touched. I didn't get the pow, that thing.
So what you're saying is you were never hit and you didn't die once.
Didn't die once.
Didn't die at all.
Didn't die at all.
Not didn't undie.
Not a single time.
You were not unalive for one.
you weren't unliving.
I remained existing through the game. Yes.
Oh.
I was not eliminated.
No, that's believable.
Perish, I did not.
That's believable to me. Like, I think my best run, I could get through I got to the waterfall stage without dying.
The secret is you got to use the spread. That's the best weapon.
Yeah. Those bases kick the poop out of me.
That's on my list. Is like, get the spreader and you can start running through the stage. Yeah.
Don't get the fire gun, whatever you do.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Weak-ass fire gun. The one that the fireballs.
I kept getting the one that spins around. Like, it's like a circle.
That's the fire one.
Yes, fire.
Oh, no. No wonder.
Yeah.
The fire. The fire.
Yeah, no, you can't get that. And the laser's the next best. Okay. Machine gun's pretty good, too.
Yeah, the machine. I like the machine, and I like the spreader.
Yeah, I know you like to spread.
Everyone likes spread.
That spreader.
Spread.
Oh, yeah. Well, the spread gun is obviously the best gun. And you can really tell the sequel, I was playing that before we got on the call, Super C, our new favorite game name. That game there, the spread weapon is way more prevalent. Like, there's like one or two drops of it in every single stage now. Whereas in the Contra game, Contra also kind of screws you because you cannot avoid some of the power-ups. So at one point in the first level, if you're not careful, it's pretty hard to avoid getting the fire weapon, and it does suck.
Yeah, it's hard if you're not good at the game.
As far as the difficulty of this game, it's easier to me than some of the like impossible games we played, like Comic Zone.
Comic Zone.
Yeah, exactly. But
look at this guy scoff at Comic Zone.
I only play classic games.
This game is definitely, it's fun though, even though it's tough. Like, it's, you know, I had no problem giving it another try when I died.
Oh, definitely. It's more inspiring than Comic Zone, where you're just like ready to break whatever you're looking at.
Yeah, break the controller.
As opposed to Kid Icarus, Kid Icarus.
Excuse me?
I used to call it Kid Icarus when I was a kid because I didn't know about Icarus.
Oh, shit. They didn't teach classical Greek in your elementary school?
No. Although I did have a book, and I did know all about Arachne and all, you know, Hephaestus. But I didn't know about Icarus. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, Kid Icarus, I played it was horrible. I don't know how you guys played through that. Terrible.
Oh, friend of the show, Paul, is not going to appreciate that.
Well,
Kid Icarus is Paul's Contra.
Exactly. He has it all memorized, and he was like getting to like stage 84 without dying.
Oh, I heard him. I call BS on that.
Oh.
But.
Well, he did mention he had never been able to beat it properly, and he hoped that one day his children would be able to beat it. But. This game is well, especially if you use the Konami code. If you use the Konami code, this game is definitely
it's very easy. Yeah,
yeah, you can beat it. I used it in like my second, I did try a couple times to beat it legit with the three continues. I think the furthest I got was stage 5. Is that the snowfield stage? The stage
no.
after four is the second base.
Oh, wait a minute, no, second base is. Hold on.
Second base is
stage 5. Four. The snow is 5. You're right.
Yeah, I could get to the snowfield using the you essentially get 9 lives between 3 lives and then you get 3 continues. And you do get extra lives every 20,000 points, which means if you're okay, you normally get two or three extra lives each continue. So
by the time I reached the snowfield this afternoon, I had five lives.
Oh, look at you, practically a cat. No, you using the Konami code, I got to the last boss and died on him, and I didn't bother continuing, because when you beat this game, I believe you just get it's definitely a classic NES ending where I think you get one screen and then the game just starts again.
All it shows is the island blowing up and a helicopter flying away. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's all you need to know. Bimmy and Jimmy live happily ever after as life partners. And have grandchildren.
Of course, when it happened for me, I imagined them being on there, and I was on there as well as their baby boy.
You were waiting there, open arms, yes. With your spreader.
Daddy and daddy.
It's a very progressive game.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially since it's coming from a very conservative 80s Japan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's groundbreaking in a lot of ways.
Many ways.
Brisket, how do you do in this game?
Oh, I got to the waterfall, and then I died. No, I didn't put enough time in to get good at this game. It's one of those where you just need a couple tries to get the pattern down, and then you can beat it. Get that spreader in, start spreading them bullets.
Did you K-code it? And died the waterfall?
I did not K-code. I'm too impatient to K-code. I would go to a Game Genie first before the K-code.
That seems harder.
Game Genie? Really? Just put in the code.
Yeah, really.
You got to memorize that and you got to do it.
Everyone has it memorized. Yes.
Yeah, man. It's
Look,
not...
Don't judge my life. All right?
I am right now.
It's not like that damn Turtles 2 where you have to put it in really quick because the title screen vanishes in like half a second. Like Contra, actually, it was pretty easy for me to pump that code in there.
Oh yeah, pump it right in, right into the Super C.
I will say that game I was playing Super C before we started up tonight, and that game the difficulty curve is a little more generous at the beginning. It's a little easier at the start of the game. I was able to get to stage 3 pretty easily without
the Super C is easier to get into.
Is that what you're saying?
You're using the spreader.
Yeah. It's like it's like the Paris Hilton. It's very easy to check into.
Oh, poor Paris.
The city.
Yeah, there's a Hilton in Paris as Huell's favorite, Jimmy Fallon, pointed that out once.
Huell's favorite.
he's an innovator of comedy. Stealing everyone else's funny things.
I just had a vivid memory of playing this game. It just came flooding back to me.
With Jimmy Fallon?
No. Oh, yes. And I remember playing it and listening to JJ Fad's Supersonic. Are you all familiar with that song?
I feel like I'm about to be.
You don't know JJ Fad?
Of course I do, of course.
Supersonic, no?
Oh, JJ, yeah. Oh, JJ, come on, man. We go way back.
Was this before or after the New Bohemians with Steve Cow?
What is that to do with it? You couldn't be further apart in terms of style between Edie Brickell and JJ Fad. JJ Fad is like three chicks from Harlem rapping. How do you guys know about JJ Fad? Disappointed.
JJ Fad is an American female rap group from Rialto, California, on the outskirts of Los Angeles.
All right, maybe they're not from New York.
Well, they were just a fad, so I guess they just passed.
The name was an acronym of the original group members' given names. Juana, Juanita, Fatima, Anna, and Dania.
It's like the original TLC.
Mm-hmm. The lineup changed, the tradition developed that it stood for. Just Jammin' Fresh and Deaf.
Wow. Well, they got their point across.
That the group was backed by DJ Train, whose real name is Clarence Lars.
Oh, old Clarence, yeah.
I feel like that's I feel like that's almost as big as the leap from Gordy to Sting.
Clarence to Train.
Yeah, Clarence to DJ Train. Oh.
Well, it's better than his other DJ name, Super C.
And they also came out with a CD called Not Just a Fad in 1991, but it failed to make an impact.
Yeah, that didn't last.
So it was just a fad.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys hearing this?
No.
I was trying
to play JJ.
I was trying to play it, yeah.
No, this is on your Cruisin' Tunes playlist on your iPod?
It's for his Sunroof Open playlist.
Yes.
Put that on there, and then after, Phil Collins. This is some jamming stuff.
Phil Collins, man.
Give me some Peter Gabriel.
I don't care anymore.
Phil Collins can eat some Super C.
He's no Michael Douglas.
I don't know why my friend used to always say that. About Phil Collins. I have no clue why, but he used to always say that. Phil Collins, man, he can eat some.
Oh, man.
Made no sense.
Phil Collins was obviously a lady slayer between his going bald in the 1980s, and he had some hit records then. And
Selfie sure and Jams.
Sussudio.
Studio.
Yeah. And then in the 90s, he got all that Lion King money. He was doing okay for himself.
Lion King. Is that like mailbox money?
No, it was Tarzan.
Was it Tarzan?
Tarzan.
Oh, who did? Oh, yeah, like Michael Bolton.
Elton John did.
Elton John. Michael Bolton. Jesus.
I just knew it was someone I was not interested in.
How dare you? Elton John's fantastic.
Seriously?
he probably Jimmy and Jimmy too.
Which Disney movie did Yanni do the soundtrack for?
Yanni.
That was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
Beauty and the Beast with the late great Jerry Orbach.
Exactly.
He provided the voice of the Candlestick. Good times.
I just learned that recently. Where did I learn that? Probably on the board.
Yes. I believe so. All right, going through the roll here. Brisket, did you have anything else to say about Contra?
Oh, no.
I'll throw it to you, Huel. Actually, Huel, you mentioned before the show, you really liked the music for this game, correct?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just more classic Nintendo tracks. I think it just really keeps things moving along. Dipping and bopping.
Jamming.
Ooh.
It's almost as good as JJ Fad.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
JJ Super Fad did Sonic. Cite, yeah, they did cite Contra as an influence, so. You can really hear it.
Well, JJ Fad toured with NWA, according to Wikipedia, oh, hell yeah. So yeah, you can clearly hear that influence in both of their music, I think.
On the Sesame Street Letters tour.
that was a requirement that your band had to be an acronym, otherwise you couldn't get on it.
Exactly.
Listen up, little bitches. F is for holy. I'm sorry.
Steve's gonna be pretty busy with this episode.
Busy on this one.
gonna have to take the shears to this.
Oh god.
No shears.
No shears.
Just
release it as a special explicit only release.
Sorry, kids.
Maybe we can release the explicit episode when the NWA movie comes out later this summer.
Oh, good call.
Backsack, what are your thoughts on final thoughts on Contra here?
I'll probably play it later tonight.
Nice.
That's about it. I got nothing else to say.
You can balance your baby boy on your knee and say, son, this is a game that turned me into a man, and it's going to turn you into a man too. No Little League till you beat this game.
Are you kidding? Kids, if they played this today, they'd look at you like, really? What's wrong with you?
Oh, I did watch one of those videos called the Teens React to Classic Video Games.
Oh,
and
the teens,
they eh? Were teens react to playing classic video games, and they had like five pairs of kids playing this game, and they were horrendous. They're like, oh, which one am I? You keep running into the bad guys. They could not get past the first stage.
Wow.
Nobody could.
Dumb kids.
Yeah, I saw that one as well. It frustrated me. It reminded me of Nickelodeon used to have this game show called Arcade.
Oh, Nick Arcade.
Yeah, and
it was amazing.
Invariably, they would always pick these kids who it was like, have they ever played a video game before? Have they seen a TV before? Because they were always horrible, and that's the feeling I got watching. It's called Teens React to Contra.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'll link it in the post for this episode.
Weep for our future.
I know. Who's going to protect us from the aliens? The army?
Yeah.
I don't think so. If there's anything I've learned from video games, it's that the army is always useless in any combat.
I used to go to the Army Navy surplus store, and I would buy belts. And like empty ammo belts and canteens and like training weapons and stuff. And I would reenact Arnold Schwarzenegger getting geared up from Commando.
Yes.
In the backyard. And I would put on like face paint. Oh my God.
You cock all your guns?
Yeah, I would cock all the guns.
Got your grenades ready.
I loved it so much. Loved it so much.
Did you have time to bleed?
I didn't have time to bleed. Oh wait, that's fairy.
That's Predator.
Who's that? Who says that?
Jesse Venn.
Oh, Jesse Venn. Okay, sorry. I thought it was from Roadhouse or something with that Swayze.
No, that one's Pain Don't Hurt.
Yeah,
Pain Don't Hurt. That one. Ugh.
And also, I used to F guys like you in prison.
No. <one.
laughs> Which
that wasn't Swayze though.
No, that was a taunt leveled at Swayze, which I guess that's bad news for him, but I feel it doesn't reflect well on that henchman either.
That's like, did you ever watch MTV that had Scared Straight? You ever see that, the original one?
Oh,
or not
I
the
love
original,
it.
But it was the MTV remake of Scared
oh,
Straight.
I love it.
And they had that dude who made that guy, like he pulled his pocket out and he's like, hold my pocket! Yeah, walked around. They made the kid hold his pocket. He's like, "This is what I do if you're in prison. You have to hold my pocket."
There's one that's like, "Get me a banana."
Yeah,
he's just like crying the whole time.
Yeah,
"Get me a banana."
That's my banana now.
It felt so good when you see those little teens. They're all defiant and think they're badass.
It's incredible. That's why I love it so much.
Yeah, it was good.
They were always very concerned about shoes too. Give me your shoes.
Give me your shoes. Yeah. Shoes. Yeah, shoes.
That was cool. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I'm gonna secure my shoes right now, and let's move on to the email portion of the show. Brisket, did you get any emails in your box there?
Yes, I have one delivered straight to my box. It is yet another email from the prolific Butterscoot24.
Oh, is it in English this time?
It is, yeah. I wasn't able to finish the cipher on the last
puzzle,
letter,
last week's puzzle.
But he sent another one, I guess. I don't even know if that last one was him or not. But,
that's true.
This one says, Todd, did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Todd? I am the third revelation. I am who the Lord has chosen. Because I'm smarter than you. I'm older. I'm not a false prophet, you sniveling boy. I'm the third revelation. I am the third revelation. I told you I would eat you. I told you I would eat you up. What are the YPB guilty pleasure games? Kind regards, Butterscoot 24. Now, he spelled pleasure, PLAYSHURE.
Oh, a DFS user.
Kind of strange.
Yeah, possibly.
That's clever.
I have interesting. I have two different games that came to mind when I read this mail. My first thought is my biggest guilty pleasure game of all time is probably World of Warcraft. But it shouldn't be considered a guilty pleasure because it's a legit good game.
It's a very popular game. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot of haters out there that like to hate on it, you know?
With a Z?
Haters with the Z and losers. A true guilty pleasure game is the Dynasty Warriors series. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
I don't know if Sack would be, because this is after the after Contra came out.
Yeah. Not really familiar with anything past 88. Sorry.
I'm somewhat familiar with it, Brisket.
Are there glistening pecs?
There are.
Ooh.
There.
Anyway, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Dynasty Warriors is a game where you play as an ancient Chinese organization, and you just slaughter thousands and thousands of Chinese peasants.
Huh. Rape of Nanking.
Yes.
So you're saying it's a game for the family.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no blood. It's all kind of stylized. So. Yeah. Little Jimmy and little Bimmy can watch it.
I have not played that game, but I have played. I feel like one of the Lord of the Rings games is like that, correct? Where you're just slaying orcs with.
They kind of made one in a similar fashion, but not exactly the same. Like these are made by Koei Tecmo, and it's this very specific style of action game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're rebranding this into a whole different series. Like there's a Zelda version of this game. There's a Gundam, you know, that robot show. There's a version of it. They're rebranding it. And okay. And that is my guilty pleasure game series. How about you guys? Any guilty pleasures?
Sack, you can go first. If you haven't.
Guilty play. Clue Clueland, I guess. Nothing current.
I did look that up while you were mentioning it earlier, and it's a thing, right? It's rare.
It is a thing, yeah.
It's rare that I see a game that I've never heard of before, and that's one of them. It does have that.
I only know of it because whenever I download these huge ROM packages from the torrent site's totally legal. I own all the physical copies of all these games. But Clue Clue Land is up there in the top because it's in the C's and it's all alphabetical. So I've popped it on once or twice, just opening a random game and, wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, Clue Clue Land is a very, very early game. It looks like, according to Wikipedia, it came out in 84 in Japan. And in North America, it came out in 85 as a launch title for the NES.
Yeah, well, that must have been where I got it.
Yeah.
Because I got my NES for Christmas in third grade.
Ooh, look at you.
That would have been, 7 years old, so 85. Yeah.
Early adopter.
Yeah, and it was actually, the NES was responsible for me not believing in Santa Claus anymore. because I found it before, where my parents were hiding it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then when I found that, I go, oh, okay, I guess there's no Santa. It was quite sad. But happy because I got a Nintendo.
Oh, we'll see. It worked out. I mean,
it
killed your sense of wonder, but at least you got a Nintendo.
Damn right.
Substitute wonder.
Exactly.
I will say it has a picture of the box art for Clue Clue Land, and I kind of like the old Nintendo games. They all had like this weird box art that kind of had stuff from the game on them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them.
Yep, I remember that distinctly. I remember getting that game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, hours of entertainment.
Huel,
substitute for my mother's love.
Huel, did you have any guilty pleasure games?
Well, it's probably just in line with the biggest guilty pleasure in my life in general, which is wrestling. So every 2 or 3 years, I buy the WWE game and beat people up and smash people with ladders. So they're usually fun. I mean, they're just fun games in general.
I enjoy those because I enjoy seeing, because they always have very dynamic character creators in them.
Yeah.
And I enjoy seeing what people come up with.
Exactly. You can see a lot of videos of like people just make either video game characters or different celebrities and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's also something.
They're always fun.
There's something satisfying about being able to use a chair on somebody.
Yeah.
My guilty pleasure game is there are these indie games called Game Biz 1, 2, and 3, and they are text simulation games of running a video game company.
Right.
They are incredibly nerdy, and also they are not proofread very well. So, like, Nintendo is spelled wrong half the time when you're playing and that kind of stuff.
Or they use real names.
Yeah. This is so indie that, like, I don't know. The guy's
no
probably, like, yeah, the guy's probably made, like, $100 over the years on these games. They're kind of – I think we mentioned Baseball Mogul once in those kind of games. It's right. Along the lines of those, but you run a video game company instead. And they're kind of easy, but, you know, I don't know. There's just something about them. Like, we mentioned idle games last week. There's just something about them that keeps me playing. So,
would playing the franchise mode on a football game count as a guilty pleasure? Because that's what I like to do, is play the franchise mode and just, you know, go through season after season after season, just managing the roster. Getting stats.
Just simulating and not playing the games?
Yeah, simulating and not playing the games.
Oh. Yeah, I've done that.
Sack, yeah. I do that too. I consider that more challenging.
Yeah.
Because if I control the games, it's rare that the computer can beat me in a sports
game. Oh, look at this guy.
Well, sports games are, unless you crank the difficulty all the way up, you can normally beat the computer in them. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm messing around.
I do that or the Road to the Show on MLB, the last three or four MLB games, I play that. And, of course, it's always my name and number 11.
Is that where you're the prospect?
Any place third base, yeah.
Working your way up?
Because that's what I played. Oh.
Wheeling and dealing.
Are you happy now, Daddy?
I made it to the Padres.
Padres? How dare you? Never play for those jokes.
It's the best.
It's always the good for.
Then they just trade you.
Oh. Yeah, that would suck.
Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact, receive one email, and it is from ScooterButt42.
Oh, Scooty.
Yeah, old Scooty. So you write in, Dear YPB, wow, that Comic Zone episode was amazing. I'm so glad Huel picked it. He always has the best ideas. They're always better episodes than whenever those other two pick a game. It inspired me to try to read some comics, so I checked out the alley behind the local comic shop. I managed to grab a few issues from a box before the owner yelled at me to get out. This should help me kill some time between episodes. Do you have any favorite comic book games from those wonderful days when your parents would just buy things for you? Signed, ScooterBoat42. So I think he means like superhero-oriented themed video games. Anyone?
I'll go.
We did talk last week about the Arkham series, the Batmans.
Oh yeah,
there you go. Those are probably. I mean, if you consider those comic book, I mean, you are Batman, but actually, those are very faithful to the source material and translating it into kind of a gritty modern world. But yeah, those are probably the best comic book sourced games of all time are those Arkham games.
Batman's all dark and sexuality.
He's a latent homosexual.
Well, one of the first games we did on this show was the X-Men arcade game.
That is true.
Which I enjoyed quite a bit as a kid.
Good episode, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you, Bexit.
Thanks.
Such a sweet boy.
And I also liked on the – I think they were either PlayStation or PlayStation 2, the X-Men Legends series.
Yeah, we talked about that one on that first show too. Those are solid games.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mixes beat 'em up with RPG and action-adventure kind of game.
Right. They expanded that to more Marvel characters, I think.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys played Injustice Gods Among Us?
Yeah, I didn't get into it that much. I wasn't a fan of the fighting system.
Yeah, my son has it, and every once in a while I'll pop it in and play it. Not bad.
Cool.
Now, here's a little twist. Now, if you're saying properties that are based on comic books, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were a comic book.
So
there's a lot of stuff like that going on.
Correct.
I always consider Ninja Turtles more of a TV show movie kind of franchise, though.
But it's a comic book first.
I think Scooter Butt's intention here, if I may, was more like superhero themed comic books.
Well, you can't go wrong with the Marvel versus Capcoms too. So,
some say you could.
No, I like those games. That's probably after Street Fighter 2. That's probably my favorite fighting game. Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Yeah.
All right. Well. I had
guys. Yes. Oh, did you have it? Did you get an email?
I have a feeling that you might have.
No. Go ahead.
No. You can go ahead, Backsack.
No. It's yours. I didn't get anything. What do you mean?
No.
Go ahead.
Dear Brisket and Huel, I had a feeling you would be on the show tonight. Who would you rather spend tender time with? One of the Battletoads or one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Sincerely, Mrs. Janet Jackson.
Oh, zits all the way, man.
He's the tall, yellow Battletoad.
Yeah, man, he's strapping.
Mm. Oh, okay. How tender are we talking?
Mrs. Janet Jackson does not specify.
Oh, okay.
Is that the Janet Jackson?
I don't think so, because I don't think she's married.
Oh.
It's kind of strange for the real Janet Jackson to be writing in. But you never know. She could be a turtle, Battletoad fan.
We have luminaries such as Scooter Butt and Butterscoot writing in. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she rose to prominence in the '80s, and a few of our games come from that era, so.
Well,
she might be a fan.
Janet is a common name, and so is Jackson. So, what are the odds that this is the actual Janet Jackson? It's probably not high. So
probably 50% or so. Yeah.
Could be Janet with a K.
Janet with a K.
Backsack, did you get any emails?
Surprisingly. I did.
That's interesting, since we did not advertise that you were going to be on the show.
Well, it's not necessarily because I was on the show, as you may see. Because my email is from a Hurl Hoser 69.
Oh, interesting.
And it reads, Backsack, shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Jesus.
Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines. By chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou outst, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in this shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growst, so long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Did you call me yesterday? I saw a missed call at 4:06 and thought it might be you. Anyway. Hope to see you soon, HH.
Oh, interesting. Well, some might say that Hurl Hoser has quite the way with words.
Yeah.
He sounds like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. It sounds like he wants to get into your Super C, Backsack.
I've received a few emails from him. I don't know who he is.
Could you answer his question though, please? I'm just curious. I mean, he did ask a question. So.
No, I didn't call anyone yesterday.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Moving on. All right. Do we have?
Oh man, that sounds like trouble.
Appreciate his sonnet though. That was nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, he might start contacting you in ways you can't avoid, like outside of your office on the way to the arcade. Well, on that note, we better get off here. That way you can hide out in a bunker, perhaps. Let's see. Closing out the show here, Brisket, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah. Lance, I won't forgive those bastards. Bill, let's greet them with style.
Is that dialogue from a portion of the game, or is that a creation of...
That one is from Brisket the Japanese fiction. Version of Contra 3, The Alien Wars.
Oh, okay. Bill.
Oh, my God. Huel, anything to say?
Just always remember that if you fail, life as we know it will cease to exist, and the Red Falcon will rule forever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's keep that in mind.
Again, a good message to leave for kids. Backsack, thank you for guesting on the show. Did you have any final words of wisdom here?
Dylan! You son of a bitch.
CIA got you pushing too many pencils. All right, on that note, we'll play out with a little snifferoo from our next episode here. Thank you.